Good evening and welcome to the Gnostic Waves, your weekly fix of all things mystical, philosophical and psychological. My name is Diana Azam, the host of the program, and tonight on the show we're going to be doing a review of the tarot card number 6. So just as a quick recap, the last tarot card that we reviewed, number 5, the Hierarch, we talked about primarily the law of karma and dharma and how important it is to pay off our karma consciously. And we also touched on how to negotiate payment of our karma. We also discussed the importance of accepting this law of cause and effect, and that whilst it's a mechanical law, it's governed by conscious beings. And so this card, the Hierarch, represents the head of the judges of the law, the Master Anubis. We also talked a bit about the esoteric pentagram as a symbol for protection, and also that it's loaded with symbology, symbolizes the perfected master, which is what we are all aiming to do in this inner spiritual work, is to gain unification of all parts of our being and ultimately to reach mastery and to really have a true purpose and foundation for our lives. Okay, so number 6 is called the Lovers or Indecision. And just if you haven't seen this card before, I've put the picture on the homepage of the website, gnosticwaves.com, spelt GnosticWaves.com. So do have a look. I'll be going through the symbols. Or if we're used to a different type of tarot card, which might have the same name but the differing symbologies, then I also invite you to have a look. Okay, so indecision or the Lovers. So the picture here that we see, really, it speaks for itself. It's a man caught between two women or lovers, and he doesn't know which way to go. His feet are facing in one direction and his head is facing the other. He's experiencing indecision. So in the teaching of this card, it says, standing in the waters of life, the disciple in front of a triangle with its vertex pointing downwards. His left arm is over his right, which shows he has fallen, which is why he is attracted to the woman on his right. On the left is the master, female initiate. In the superior part of the card, a hierarch is seated in a triangle which is formed by the bow and has its vertex pointing upwards. He points his arrow at the head of the Medusa. So the Medusa is the woman that's scantily dressed to the right. Each female figure represents a different path. The arrow of justice points against the path to the right, so the path of the Medusa. So really what this is saying is that in the spiritual work, we always have before us two paths, that of the material, three-dimensional world of sensations, of never-ending desires, or the spiritual path, the path less travelled. And our definition for the spiritual path is constantly being questioned and challenged. So we need to always have that point of definition, because the times that we are in at the moment, and due to the law of falling, our natural inclination is to look towards earth, towards materialism. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily right or best for us. In this work, we aspire for higher ideals, for higher vibrations. And so therefore, we're going against that that flow, which is going downward. So there's always a continual need to define ourselves. So we see in this card that the scantily dressed lady on the right is not the favourable path for this disciple. And so definitely in the spiritual work, the path to the right isn't the one that we would want to choose that will favour our spiritual growth. So in essence, it's the struggle between spirit and matter. So the 6th card of the tarot represents the Lover, which also signifies the path of self-realization. It represents enchantment, equilibrium, an amorous union of man and woman, and the struggle between love and desire. So the lady on the right, the Medusa, represents desire, and the lady on the left, the master, the initiate, represents love. And so love is what we are yearning for over desire. And sometimes we get the two mixed up. But if we look within ourselves and really scrutinize both, then we will soon find that love is the more permanent, more real feeling that we would want to have. So it's worth reflecting on love with this card, so compared to desires. Now, the spiritual path is all about developing love. Love for our partner, love for our fellow human, love of life, and love, most importantly, of our own inner divinity, and also the divinity of all other beings, because it's the same force that we're working with different modifications and uniqueness for each of our beings. All the things that we teach on this show in respect to the psychological and the mystical awakening, the work that we do on the ego, and also the sublimation of our creative energies, all require love, or a level of love that we have in our heart. We can get so far without love, but it's going to make the path more difficult, stressful, and it can't be sustained forever. So it can get us to a certain point, but at some point we're going to have the right intentions for this work, and it's not for purely selfish gain at all. Even though it helps us as beings and as humans, it's not a selfish path. When we work without love, it also encourages us to get stuck in the mind, and the mind is something that can be a prison to us. So if you are someone with a mental illness like anxiety or depression, and they get stuck in the mind, and it's not fun, it's not happy times. And so it's the same. We want to be motivated out of love and not for any other type of desire or selfish reason. Now, because of our lack of comprehension of what true love is, we often mistake desire for love. Desire is something that we want for ourselves. It's conditional. If we don't have our desires met, it results in frustration. So desires get in the way of love because we have an expectation, something that we want, and that can block the natural flow of love. So love can't be trapped. It can't conform to our concepts. And the more we try and trap it and contain it, the more it will try and escape from us. So love is a very natural flow that exists. And when we try and put conditions or limitations on it, it never works. And so that's when our desires can really ruin love. So in this card, the disciple has to define themselves for true love over sensorial desire. The choice between instant gratification or for a longer lasting, eternal love that is beyond time and space. So it's also another way of putting it, it's comparing the loss of our creative energies to the work to rise and sublimate and internalize our creative energies. So this choice is before the disciple. This choice is what we have to work towards every single day in our definition for this work. Okay, we'll just take a short music break. I've chosen the track Rebel Eagle by Ben Lee, and this is the last of the songs on the CD Freedom, Love and the Recuperation of the Human Mind, which I've been playing progressively since October last year, thanks to my friend Lexi for alerting me to the CD. So we'll be back to continue on the topic of the card number 6. So you're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was a track called Rebel Eagle by Ben Lee from the CD Freedom, Love and the Recuperation of the Human Mind. A very Very relevant CD for this show, so thanks to Ben Lee for that, and I'm sure he was in his heart a Gnostic too. Okay, so we're reviewing tarot card number 6, Indecision or the Lovers. So in this card we can also reflect quite a bit on indecision, because in a general sense this is what this card is about. And being indecisive can cause us a lot of difficulties in life, a lot of stress, a lot of tension, particularly if we're not a very confident person and we're prone to a lot of indecision. Now, we could talk about indecision in a lot of different ways. So being torn between two lovers, as this card is showing us, but we can also be undecided about whether to stay in a job that we don't like or to move to another job, or even something like what kind of car we should buy. So there's lots of things that we could talk about in relation to this card. But I thought I would focus on the definition that we have for the inner spiritual work, as I mentioned before, because it can be really hard to be defined constantly for this work, especially because the day and age that we're in is not really encouraging of this. So for all those people who aspire to go within and discover the wisdom for themselves, so this is the path, the inner spiritual work. So we have this indecision all the time, every day, when we go to do a meditation practice, but instead we find ourselves drawn to the television to watch a television program. It might not even be our favorite one, but we watch it because it's the path of least resistance. We experience this indecision when we want to understand our ego. We want to understand our angry outbursts, but we don't give ourselves any time to reflect on the situation, to reflect on the circumstances, the people that triggered this, the environment, and what it is in particular that we're getting angry about. We don't devote ourselves enough time and reflection for this. So in these cases, we're constantly choosing the Medusa over the master, so to speak. We're choosing matter, we're choosing the sensorial world or impressions over the more subtle and spiritual awakening that really is what is going to give us true fulfillment in our heart, in our lives. But this path and this work, it's not the path of instant pleasure, instant gratification. There's a path of long-term, more consistent and long-standing happiness and contentment. But we keep getting tempted with instant gratifications, like just simply the television or watching a movie. It makes us feel good in the short term, but then when we turn it off, we come back to ourselves, we come back to who we are. And so we need to really question the value of these temporary sensations that are distracting us from what our real truth and our real life is and what it's doing to us. So in essence, we're choosing the path of sacrificing of our desires over instant gratification for a greater good. So what is behind indecision? There are a lot of things that can cause this, like conflicting desires within us, but at the heart of it is fear, and it's a fear of change. So I'm talking about big decisions. So not just, what am I going to have for dinner, steak or spaghetti. It's more like, those life-changing things, or even choosing a meditation over watching a television program. So why is this so hard? And so if we want to understand, we need to look a bit deeper at fear. So we fear making a wrong decision. We fear making a mistake. We fear the suffering that comes from making mistakes. And so fear can keep us stuck in a rut, and it can keep us from doing anything, because doing nothing and staying where we are, we know where we are at the moment. Whilst we might not be happy there, fear makes us think that it's safer to stay as we are and do nothing than it is to make a decision and to experience new things and maybe suffer a bit being out of our comfort zone instead of just staying as we are. So we need to understand what is behind the fear. And we don't look too far until we find out that our pride or our sense of self is there. So we fear what's going to happen to that part which we identify as myself. But in reality, there's multiple parts of ourselves. Pride takes up a very big part of what we are. And fear, if we understand, and I've mentioned this on shows before, is that it's an instinctive reaction that protects us from dangers. But we generally experience it for things that don't actually cause us physical danger, like something like being robbed is a physical danger, or being threatened with a weapon. But we fear things and circumstances that don't put our actual physical life in danger, but they do put our sense of pride at danger and all those other egos. And this is why our psychology, our egos don't really like to change, because it forces what we are and those egos to change. And they don't like that, because as we are at the moment, we're very easily controlled. And we don't, in this work, we don't want to be so easily controlled, but the fact is that we are. And until we understand those parts of ourselves that are being controlled, we're never going to change. We're never going to wake up and really know what freedom is. So to overcome indecision, we need to understand our pride, what it is that we don't want to lose. So what is the desire there that we're holding on to and that's making us stuck and making us miserable? The other way to overcome this fear is to allow ourselves to make mistakes, but to do it consciously. So to make decisions consciously as possible. And if we feel that we have made a mistake after some time, to try and fix it as best we can without feeling guilt. So like referring back to karma, if we feel we've made a mistake and that's caused someone difficulty or harm or harm to ourselves, then we work to repair that. And we know that we can do that through good deeds, through conscious works, conscious acts. We can undo harms that we've done through cause and effect. So through, you know, fixing or making repair to what we've done in any way we can, does help us to fix a situation, you could say. But it's better to do that than to fear life and to fear making choices because of fear itself. So I wanted to go through the axiom for this card, which I have been doing with all the cards. It says, Lord, you give me works, but with them strength. So here we're talking about tests or temptations, which, as I said at the beginning, is going to happen in this path, the spiritual path. But it doesn't just happen in this path. Any path we choose where we're really defined, we want to move forward in it, we're going to get challenged constantly. We're going to come across the force of resistance. So we're presented with two options and we don't know what to do. So this is the work, or the works it's talking about in this axiom. But we are also given the strength to deal with it. So I was reflecting on the common saying that the life or universe will never give us something that we can't deal with, that we can't handle. So we have the strength to be able to deal with what life gives us. We might not think that at the time. We might not feel we have the strength, but we have to trust in that. Well, I think that we have to trust in that, because we are so much more than what our perception might be. So when we struggle with doing a practice, or struggle between going to a Gnostic class over going to the pub with our friends, it's a difficult choice. But if we can define ourselves for the path of higher values, or as common said, of the solar values, then we gain strength from it. It's similar to going to a gym. We might not want to go to the gym, we might not want to do exercise, but we go, we push ourselves, we get there, and then we feel good afterwards, or we feel like we're starting to lose weight. And so it's a difficult choice to decide to go, but then once we do it, we're happy about it. So there's so many scenarios in life when this is the case. So in this work, we're not going for the easy path or the path that gives us results straight away. We put in a bit or a lot of effort and we gain the rewards of this effort, but not immediately. So if we're after immediate gratification, we're probably not going to endure this path very long, because a lot of the work that we do now, we don't see the results straight away. We see the results later on. So like working to understand our ego of anger is going to be very difficult at the start, because we're so identified with our anger and we might keep getting angry uncontrollably in trying to observe and understand it. But then later on, when we're put in an angry scenario or a scenario that causes us anger, we'll have more of an understanding on it, and we won't lose it as quickly, or we won't lose it as much, and that's when the benefits of that work will come into play. But we have to trust in that work. Doing the work for work's sake, not necessarily for results, even though we do get results in the end. So now, no doubt, this is a path of the road less travelled. So if we draw this card in a tarot reading, obviously it's showing us that we're caught between two options. So it can be in the spiritual sense, or it can be in the material sense. So I would think that we would strive for the higher road, the road that has greater values, even though it might be a bit tougher and the rewards aren't instant, then that would be what I think this card is trying to tell us. Now, there's other things, more esoteric topics that we can talk about in this card. There's the Seal of Solomon, or the Star of Solomon, which is presented by the two triangles. The one with the triangle pointed up is the bow of the hierarch at the top of the card, and then the triangle facing down is towards the lower part of the card. So again, it's that understanding of those higher and those lower forces that come together in that Star of Solomon, which also can represent the Kabbalah as well, and that we have to work with those lower forces to actually awaken and to meet with those higher forces. Yeah, so we haven't really gone much into that in the show. There is also, yeah, the part we talked on, the love versus desire, in that it's the path of the alchemy, where we learn that the wise cultivation of our creative sexual energies is what the inner alchemy is about, and also the transformation of the lead of our personality into the gold of our spirit. And so it's all about transformation, this path, and awakening. So we'll take another short break, and I've chosen a lovely track called Quietude by Terry O'Connor, a nice track that will get us ready for the meditation practice. So we'll be back in a short while. And so you're back on the Gnostic Waves, tuned into PBA FM 89.7. That track was Quietude by Terry O'Connor. So hopefully it has put you all in a nice relaxed state for the meditation practice that we will be entering into right now. So getting ourselves in a position that we can maintain for the next 20 minutes. If possible, trying to keep our spine, our back, relatively straight without causing too much discomfort. Maintaining that good posture, keeping our shoulders slightly back to encourage our chest to open up and fill our lungs with a good amount of oxygen and the prana that comes with the breath. So taking a few deep breaths in and out again. Working with that rhythm to try and bring the body into a state of relaxation. And whilst we're doing this, scanning over the body to see if there's any other areas of tension in the hands, in the legs, in the face, in the facial muscles, in the shoulders, in the neck. And if we feel particularly tense in any of these parts of the body, just working with oxygen and the breath, directing it to those areas, and then as we exhale, imagining that tension releasing from that part. So continuing to relax in this way for a short while. And hopefully we're starting to get the body feeling good. Looking to relax the emotional center as well. So regardless of the day we've had and what emotions we're feeling, just relaxing that center. Imagining any tension in the chest, in the solar plexus being released as well. Feeling the heart beating freely, openly. If it helps, we focus on the beating of the heart. And then as we relax the body and the emotions, slowly, slowly the mind follows the speed of our thoughts, slows down, and the gap between the thoughts increases. Trying not to think about the thoughts, just letting them enter and exit, letting them go as quickly as they come. Sometimes thoughts seem very intriguing to us and we want to think them, but we have to train ourselves to just let them go. If they're important enough, they will come back, guaranteed. So in tonight's practice on the card number 6, I thought that it would be useful to do a reflection on love versus desire. And in this reflection, we can have a particular person in mind. It can be a partner, it can be a child, any relationship where we might struggle to see beyond our desires and expectations, and this causes the relationship a difficulty or it strains the relationship. We can even do it with our own divinity. In fact, it's very important to do this reflection for our inner divinity, because we have so many expectations and desires that we project onto those higher parts of our being, and because they don't get fulfilled often, we start to doubt the existence of higher beings, which is really detrimental to our work and to our life. But the same principles apply to anyone, any human we have a relationship or any person, any spiritual aspect of ourselves. I leave that to you. So let's start with using the mantra TUM, T-U-M, and this mantra helps us to connect with one of the highest parts of our being. So now after our next breath, we'll use the mantra. TUM. Two. resting, relaxing in the heart. Connecting with that which is our awakened consciousness, and also our inner divinity, our inner being. Forming that connection through the heart center, not through the mind. Through the heart. So we begin the reflection, finding out in our lives where we have mistaken love for desire. Or where love has been converted into desire. So desire is where we want our own conditions to be met. So what are those conditions? What are those desires? What are we seeking in this relationship? And how do we feel when these desires aren't met? Do we get angry? So how can we love unconditionally without desire, without always wanting, without always needing? How do we give without expecting to receive? Can we grant the person that we love freedom and trust? To know they can do their own thing and be happy, but still be in our lives. Can we accept them and love them unconditionally? Can we accept and love our inner divinity unconditionally? Knowing that our divinity accepts us unconditionally, even though we may not realize that. Let's work with the mantra Tum a few more times. One more. Resting, relaxing in the heart. Allowing the heart to open as much as it can. Because in this heart is where true unconditional love stems from. From that connection, the higher part of our being, higher part of ourself. So simple, so natural, so misunderstood. And now we can end this practice. And that brings us to the end of tonight's show. So thank you for joining me this evening whether you're listening live or you're listening to the recording that I've put up on the website. That's gnosticwaves.com, GnosticWaves.com. Or you can head out to the Gnosis Adelaide website, which is gnosisadelaide.com, and it has a lot of different class information, new classes. They're not classes all the time. There was one that just started in the Dulwich area, but there's also groups in the north and south of Adelaide. So if you're interested at all, please do try and attend a group, or else hope you can join in to the show next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. To 7:30 p.m. on PBA FM. Okay, have a good week and good evening.